StreamGuys Streaming Media Services is proud to sponsor Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline. Delivering audio and video to the web since 2000, StreamGuys is the affordable, reliable, and scalable choice for today's demanding media delivery needs. Stream to iPhones, mobile devices, and PCs all from the same platform. Stream in Windows Media, QuickTime, and the ubiquitous Flash using our full-featured, low-cost Wowza Flash servers. Increase your ROI with our subscription system and pre-roll ad services and turn your content into cash. StreamGuys offering professional streaming media services for the smartest businesses on the internet. Learn more at www.streamguys.com.
Welcome back into Tomorrow. I'm Dave Graveline, our 27th year covering the latest in cool consumer tech. And of course, that always includes things like products and services and gadgets and gizmos, all sorts of things available today and into tomorrow. Flying cars, rockets, and robots are no longer just sci-fi fantasy. Our next guest shares exciting advances in cool, high-tech stuff and takes kids on a fascinating journey of discovery in her new book for National Geographic Kids. We invite you, of course, especially if you're just listening on the radio right now, to check out the video at intotomorrow.com, because the author of this book that I'm holding up and we're showing you various illustrations from, it's the ultimate book of the future. Incredible, ingenious, and totally real tech that will change life as you know it. It's Stephanie Drimmer. Stephanie, welcome into Tomorrow. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you. When we first got this book, I thought, this is fascinating. And then I handed it to my 10-year-old grandson, who wouldn't put it down. And I thought, okay, that's a good sign. We definitely need to get Stephanie on the show, because he was blown away by a lot of the stuff in here. Kids, no doubt, discovering what's coming soon in various areas, including, as I mentioned, robotics and bionics and space travel, a whole bunch more. What prompted you to write this ultimate book of the future?
So the idea was, you know, let's not talk about future tech that's coming in maybe 100 years, 200 years. Let's talk about, what is the world going to look like in the 2050s when kids now are adults? And so, aside from a few intentional exceptions, every piece of technology in this book is something that is really happening, really in development. It's got a prototype, it's got a patent, it's got a team of people working on it. That doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, everything is going to be part of everyone's future, but this is all real stuff.
Oh, very cool. And of course, you know, Cameron asked the questions that I expected of him as he's flipping through as well. And he wants to know more about the robots. And, you know, he's familiar with the Roborock vacuum cleaner robot and, you know, things like that around the house. But he asked the same question. So when are robots going to be our everyday helpers and companions? And are we going to have flying cars by the time I get old enough to drive one? Will I be going to school, maybe high school, in a flying car? I mean, it generated those kind of questions, which I think is truly fascinating.
Yeah, that's great to hear. I love that. I think the flying cars is an especially cool example, because this is something that people have been predicting was just around the corner for over 100 years.
Yeah, that's been a pretty big corner for 100 years, right?
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, maybe you know this, it certainly surprised me, but the first flying car prototype came out in 1911.
Yeah.
So as you can imagine, it did not work very well. And you know, over 100 years later, we still don't have flying cars, but we're finally at a point when I feel pretty confident saying that that is one piece of technology that we are almost certainly going to see in the future. There are a ton of companies with flying car prototypes.
Yeah.
They have done test runs with humans, and a ton of companies are working on sort of the logistics side now. You know, where are we going to open these flying car ports? Where are they going to take off and land? And one of the major proposed ideas is it'll be in, you know, high transit, short distance areas. So maybe from Manhattan to JFK Airport. As a former New Yorker, I can tell you that that is a not very fun hour-long subway commute.
Yes.
And hopefully with flying cars, it'll be around 6 minutes. So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, that is exciting. And of course, we've interviewed some of those companies here on Into Tomorrow, and it is fascinating. But one of the questions that nobody seems to be able to answer until it starts happening is, you know, our roads are crowded enough. What's going to happen when we're flying in the air, going to and from? You know, if it's set areas, like you mentioned, Manhattan to JFK or something, obviously a lot more controlled and controllable. But boy, the future is a little scary, too, I think, to see what's going to happen. And now, do we have things dropping from the sky because of a fender bender or that kind of thing? So it kind of makes you wonder.
Right. Yeah, it definitely does. I mean, fortunately, with flying cars, we'll have three dimensions to work with instead of two dimensions like we do now. So
true.
There'll be quite a bit more room. But yeah, I think you're right that the future holds all kinds of not only unforeseen cool things, but unforeseen problems that we can't imagine.
Now, in your Nat Geo Ultimate Book of the Future, what are some of the formerly far out, maybe futuristic trends that you now see as you put it earlier, right around the corner?
I mean, flying cars is a major one. Space travel is another huge one. We've been talking about going to Mars for a very long time. And that's another thing that, you know, we really are at the cusp of taking a trip to Mars. Probably won't be NASA or it will be NASA in collaboration with a private company. There are a ton of experiments going on right now on the International Space Station to help us determine, you know, what are the problems we need to solve to make a Mars colony happen? Like, how does a long-term space trip, because a trip to Mars would take about 2 years, how would that affect the human body? How are we going to grow our own food so that astronauts can get fresh food? And so we've grown food on the ISS. Astronauts have eaten a space salad that they grew themselves. Recycling water is a really big one because water is so heavy and the water on Mars is not readily accessible. So how are we either going to access that water that is frozen on Mars, or how are we going to bring water along? And if we do that, how do we conserve every single drop of it? Something that, you know, also benefits us back at home, figuring out how to recycle our resources.
Oh, you ask a lot of very good questions, many of which you talk about, of course, in your book. And I think that's what's really cool, especially for kids. Is the book geared for a specific age group? What is the, you know, to and from that you're figuring are your biggest audience?
Yeah, it's written for kids who are in the 8 to 12 range. But, you know, I've heard from a lot of people that adults are getting a kick out of it, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously, that's perfect for 10-year-old Cameron. But all of us here in the studios have been flipping through it as well and saying, oh, this is awesome. You know, everybody's pointing to the cities of tomorrow or into tomorrow, if you will. Always got to get the show name in there. And you talk a lot about what to expect from the cities of tomorrow. What are some of the ideas you can throw out at us?
I think, you know, we don't necessarily realize this, but cities are really not designed around people. They're designed around cars. Cities are oriented for roadways, and huge portions of our cities are devoted to parking lots. And as we move into a future where people don't necessarily own their own personal car, you know, we're either using flying cars or public transportation like high-speed trains, or we're using fleets of self-driving cars or drones that are transporting us around. So there's not going to be this huge need for space for cars, which opens up a lot of cool possibilities. What can we do with all of this space? And I mean, the way that we're hoping that leans is towards more green spaces. Let's make cities have more trees and plants, better for our air quality, better for our mental health, better for the biodiversity of the planet, you know, habitat for plants and animals and insects to come and live, share our cities. So I think in the future, we're gonna actually see our, you know, the future doesn't always involve visual changes, but I think our cities will actually look a lot different in the near future.
And of course, in your ultimate book of the future, a lot of incredible, ingenious, and totally real tech. But again, especially as it relates to the kids reading this book, what are some of the crazy ideas that perhaps we or they have dreamed about that you think are likely never going to come true, but at least fun to talk about?
Yeah, that I found that topic so fun that I had to make it a feature in every chapter of the book called
Yes.
Future Fail. So there's a future fail in every chapter of the book. And, you know, we're looking at things that were predicted maybe by the Jetsons or Star Trek, you know, things like warp drive or force fields that were just sort of ubiquitous parts of technology in these sci-fi worlds, and we still don't have them. And these are things that, unlike the rest of the tech in the book, we are nowhere close to having. In some cases, they may be impossible according to the laws of physics. And but they are fun to think about that, you know, we have all these cool ideas that are just, nope, a total fail.
Yep. Oh, and it gives us something extra to look for in every chapter, which makes it even more fun. And you write extensively for kids. But I'm curious about how'd you learn to capture the attention of this very highly distractible age group? Because my first thought was, okay, Cameron's going to flip through a few pages and then go right back to his phone, because that's so important, right? For every kid, it seems, especially, well, every adult for that matter these days. But it's especially hard, I think, to capture the attention of the kids. How'd you do it?
You know, I'm not sure that kids are that much more highly distractible than you and I. I think we're all living in a very distractible time, like you said, with our phones, our devices.
Oh, yeah.
But I think, you know, to make it into the book, all of this tech had to pass a wow test. You know, did it blow me away? And if so, you know, it was something that probably I hope would blow other people away. And I mean, I think that sometimes we don't give kids enough credit for how smart they are, how much they can understand. And so there's a lot of, you know, pretty cool stuff, quantum mechanics and other advanced topics in this book that, you know, it's just written in a way that kids can grasp and in a way that will, you know, impact their lives directly.
Oh, for sure. You talk also about future food, high-tech entertainment, transportation, building better bodies, saving the world. I mean, there's so much in this book that we highly recommend. NatGeoKids.com. You can learn more about it. But it is available now, I'm assuming, yes?
Yes, it just came out this week, and you should be able to get it anywhere books are sold.
Terrific. Well, Stephanie Drimmer, the author of The Ultimate Book of the Future, incredible, ingenious, and totally real tech that will change life as you know it. Thank you so much for joining us. We could talk for a much longer time, but I know you're in high demand, so we'll see if we can get you back on the show at some point in the near future. Fascinating stuff. Keep up the good work, and thank you for sharing with us.
Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. Stephanie, again, the author of The Ultimate Book of the Future, NatGeoKids.com. We'll get you there, of course, as we do with all of our guests when you visit us at IntoTomorrow.com. Meantime, there's more to come. I'm Dave Graveline. Stay tuned right here on the Advanced Media Network.